Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Very appropriate to have a jazzy piece of music before we talk to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
We like to feature Chicago treasures on the broadcast, and he is a Chicago treasure. He was called, I think Christopher Borelli in the Tribune referred to him as Chicago's oldest living hipster, and he is... He's probably best known for word jazz, the spoken word poetry he first made popular in a nightclub on Wilson Avenue in Chicago back in the late 50s. He recorded more than a dozen albums of word jazz, up for a Grammy one time. Fred Astaire once danced to it on television. The Grateful Dead asked him to perform it at a New Year's Eve show, and it influenced spoken word legends like Laurie Anderson, Tom Waits, and Leonard Cohen. And there he is on the phone with us now. How you doing, Ken?
Hi there.
Hi. How are the both of you?
We're great.
Great.
And it's such a great... To be on it feels great being on air again.
Yeah. Well, you've been described as having the voice of God, and actually you once played God, didn't you, on stage?
Yeah, and I got caught. You're not God. And I said, well, it's a poor imitation, but I tried my best to... You know, the old problem, if you seek the truth will make you free. It also will show you up.
Ken played God opposite Laurie Anderson in London. And I don't know where to begin with you, but I guess we mentioned word jazz, so we should start there. That spoken word poetry has been your signature. How do you describe it?
Well... It's a form of writing. Some of it, you know, with the typewriter, but then taking off on that. For example, I was looking at my neighbor's back porch, and it was just covered beautifully with ice. You know, I mean, huge icicles dripping down. It was a fault in the gutters or something. So I wrote a little poem for them. That's basically called Maybe the Moment. I'll read it to you. Maybe the moment is icicle cool. My neighbor's back porch has gone to art school. Better go see what hangs in the alley. Won't be there too long. So don't dilly-dally. Innocent little poems.
Oh, that's great.
Thousands.
Yeah, perfect for this winter.
Yeah, this has been insane. This is sort of a test that we're going through.
So you have just described what word jazz is. It's poetry, and it's smooth, and it's delivered with your amazing voice.
Well, another way to do it is to write a sentence, any sentence. I should have called my mother, for example. That's a sentence. Or I would have done it, but, well, you know, and that's a sentence. And then... look at it, and you think, that's the first paragraph. I have to write a second paragraph explaining what the first paragraph, the first sentence means. Well, that can be quite long. So you get to the end of that, so you say, well, I can't do any more than that. The third paragraph, you say to yourself, why was I trying to explain like I was doing in the second paragraph?
And it goes on and on, and you have a book before you know it, right?
Are you still doing short films of word jazz, Ken?
Each year, I have the pleasure of doing the freedom to do the trailer, as they call it, that starts the thing for Michael Kutze.
Oh, for the film festival.
Mm-hmm. It goes way back to 1965. He started in 60. No, 1966. He started then, and then a year later, I did the opening. I saw his trailer, and I said, gee, I'd like to do that. So I got hung up on that. I've been doing all of them. I've done 49 of the trailers.
For the Chicago Film Festival. And you also...
comes the 50th anniversary.
Yeah. You were also part of a movie we've all seen, The Exorcist. Talk about that experience. What did you do with that movie?
Well, I made monsters. Monsters and noises. I worked with Linda Blair, Bill Friedkin, who used to be in Chicago, went out to the West Coast and became famous. And that was his major beginning. So I went to, I had in the studio a big projector that I could show the footage that they've done. They did some marvelous things. You know the scene where they had the Linda's going crazy with the demons in that bedroom? She's lying in the bed and the bed is rocking all over the place. The way they did that was amazing. They made a room and put the whole room on a bowling ball. And then they had all kind of stagehands around the thing that you wouldn't see. And they started to rock the whole room at a crazy angle, you know, so that it looked like the whole room had been demonized. It was quite a tour de force.
And you did you act as sort of a voice coach on that?
Well, that in essence, but it's pretty hard to get a little girl to sound truly
possessed
like the devil. It really is. Because, but what we did, he said, "Well, teach her to do something," and I said, "Well, Bill, the thing I think would be best is to play everything she says backwards."
Hmm.
Wow.
I don't know if they used that, but...
That's brilliant. I have to ask, well, when you were a little boy, and then your voice changed at, you know, whatever age, 12 or 13, whatever it was, did your voice immediately become like this?
No, I think it took a lot of smoking and cigarettes that I tried to quit. And liquor, you know. I did everything to destroy myself.
Oh, no.
But in a nice way.
Yeah.
But I eventually I just quit. I quit all that. I don't drink or don't smoke.
But your voice had to be deep at the beginning, though, right? It had to start off pretty deep.
Yeah, it was the way it was. That's what made me viable for the commercials that I did, which was fun.
Yeah. Were you often compared to Barry White?
Barry White. Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that. I went out to the West Coast, and they wanted me to stay out there. But everybody that I was meeting, I'd meet some people, they were just fabulous geniuses, like Fred Astaire and the people that worked with Hermes Pan. But for every genius, there were 999 flakes. people in cabs with a script. Let me read my script. You know, well, you just drive.
Yeah, that's why you stayed in Chicago. Well, everybody's talking about the Super Bowl commercials. You have been part of commercials with that great voice for Six Flags, Blue Cross, Disney, Shell, Corona, Sears, Taster's Choice, the Blackhawks, Dr. Scholl's, Amoco, Miller, Motorola. Do you have a special favorite?
You know, one of the things that strangely stands out, I did a commercial years ago for Bill Wirtz. He's gone to hockey heaven sometime, but now I know Rocky pretty well. But what they did, they liked the Cold Steel on Ice that we did, and that was a big commercial to promote the game and the hockey, the Blackhawk fans. So what they did, they gave me and my wife privilege to go into the Sandra Gare room for each of the games. So I go to all the games with my wife, and I meet wonderful people there. I met Rocky and his wife Marilyn. I met Mickey Norton, and she's the one who owns half of the, I think of that as half of the Blacks, the White Sox, and the half of the Bulls.
Say it again for us, Ken. We need to hear that line again, the Cold Steel line.
Well, what I did for them was a commercial series called Cold Steel on Ice.
Yeah.
And
there you go. What are you proudest of in your great career, Ken Nordine?
The fact that I've lasted this long. You realize that I'm going to be 94 soon.
Wow.
That I've had the Pearl, my wonderful wife, for all these years, 68 years. You know, she was a movie star that came to Chicago. She was working with Cary Grant, and she came here to do a play, and they heard her voice, and she, because she was in the radio for starting with the Lone Ranger a long, long time ago. So she was very beautiful and talented, and I saw her picture in the Leonard Dubkin book, which is a little talent book they used to have, and it had her phone number, so I'd call her up. She had nothing to do with me. But I was persistent, and finally we had a Coca-Cola at O'Donnell's on the near north side, and I never let her go.
You must have whispered in her ear. That did it. I was going to ask you what your secret to success is, but I guess you just told us.
Persistence.
And what about your secret to a great marriage
for
68 years?
The other
years?
Secret is your wife, Burl.
Yeah, the secret of a long marriage is a patient wife. And another thing, I've got that girl right where she wants me.
Well, listen, I can't tell you how excited we are to be talking to you, Ken, and it's great that you are still active and you sound great. By the way, some friends of mine are trying to work on this documentary about you, and they were very excited that we were going to have you on WGN today, and they said, when you talk to Ken, tell him, let's get going. We want to work on that documentary.
Well, that's the eternal documentary. They've been working on that for years.
Tell them to finish it. We want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, do you know Judge Surratt?
That's my nephew.
I was wondering, because he does a lot of things with the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
he really rates. There's a picture of him in the Blackhawk magazine.
Yeah, but he can't say Cold Steel on Ice like you can, Ken. And he can't make that whooshing noise either. Listen, all the best to you, and we'd love to catch up with you now and then, because I know you're still working on things there at your Edgewater home that you've had for how many years now?
Oh, gosh. It's been, let's see, 68 minus 5.
Wow, that's more than 60 years.
It's a big old house. I mean, I'm working on, I did a feature that was played that I did all in the computer in my home here, and it was showed at the AMC theaters last fall.
It's great that you're still active and you are cutting edge with the technology, approaching age 94. And let me just say, for all of your many, many listeners that you had on BEZ, they miss you. And it's good to hear your voice here.
I'm still on there.
When are you on there, Ken?
Sunday at midnight.
Okay. And how many hours is that show?
That's an hour. It's an hour to compendium of many, many things that I've done.
All right, it's not enough. It's too short.
No, it's a good time. It's on at midnight, so people tune into it, and it has the effect of helping go to sleep. Some of them never really heard of it.
All right. Well, listen, Ken, be well. Best to the missus, and I think, was it Studs Terkel who used to say, keep on keeping on?
Well, thanks, Bill. Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob and Marianne. It was very nice talking to you.
Great
you
talking
too.
To you,
thanks.
Ken. All the best to you. Wow. That was fun, wasn't it?
You've been looking forward to this
he's
a
something.
Long time.
You know,
what a smooth voice.
David Bowie invited him to perform at a festival in New York in 2007. I mean, this guy is so well-respected, and I think we take him for granted here in Chicago. He is a Chicago treasure.